This is Anil Kumar at Back to the Bible radio broadcast. As we near the end of our current series in Proverbs, Skillful Living, Dr. Neufeld tackles the issue of sexual sin. So let's begin as we turn to Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 to 27 for our message on winning the war against sexual sin. In our generation, sexual sin is so pervasive that is an issue that in some way it impacts all of us. Too often, Christians have come to the temptation around them enticed by a worldview that glorifies sex for all the wrong reasons. We must become aware of our propensity to fall, and the wisdom in Proverbs helps us to tackle this problem head on. When we come back, Dr. John concludes our study by offering hope and counsel in the war against sexual sin.
I'm going to be speaking from Proverbs 7 and sexual sin, but before I begin, let me be clear about something which has become quite foggy in recent years. Jesus said, and I'm reading from Matthew 15, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." Notice that Jesus puts adultery and sexual immorality into two different categories. Adultery refers to a married person having sexual relations with someone other than their spouse. Recently, some have argued that Jesus only condemned adultery, nothing else. But as we can see from this text, that's not so. Now, the word sexual immorality is a translation of one Greek word, which is the word porneia. The word porneia is a more widespread and general term. It refers to all acts of sex outside of marriage. They include adultery, but also premarital sex, prostitution, homosexuality, and anything else you can imagine. So to be clear, Jesus said that all sex outside of marriage defiles a person. I need to say this clearly at the outset of my address because the confusion about this is overwhelming. This was the view of Jesus, and this is also the view of the entire Bible. All Judaism and Christianity assumes that all sex outside of marriage of one man to one woman is a sin against God. That's the history of our faith. I now make an assumption. Almost all non-believers in our culture now assume that sex goes along with dating. And so we can see that Christian morality puts us at odds to what seems normal and natural in the secular culture in which we live. So if you're a believer dating an unbeliever, the time will soon come when he will wonder why you've not given yourself to him sexually. And so some lie to themselves. If it's oral sex or if it's mutual masturbation, it's not sex. And you've become, in Christ's words, unclean. There have been so many sexual scandals in our culture that many of us have become desensitized to them. Let me cover some news stories. A mother kills her children because they're getting in the way of her relationship to her new boyfriend. A teacher is being sued because years ago he was involved sexually with his students. A prominent politician, known for his conservative Christian values regarding marriage, flies off to South America to be with his mistress for a week, hoping that no one would find out. Everyone did, and he, like multitudes before him, now stand on the podium, wife beside him, apologizing to the press for how he's let everyone down. And of course, everyone's favorite, a pastor much loved by everyone, is found to be with prostitutes. The stories go on and on. But those are just the ones that make the news. How many marriages have ended because of adultery? How many children are devastated that daddy has another lady? How many Christian young people have broken their commitment to moral purity and now either justify what they are doing or are too ashamed to believe that they can still serve the Lord? How many have a sexually transmitted disease like genital warts and genital herpes? How many are HIV positive? How many marriage beds are crowded from all the past relationships emotionally squeezed into the present one? I know of even evangelical churches that teach that sex before marriage is okay. But once one has adopted an attitude in which sex before marriage becomes easy, don't think that you're going to hold the line at adultery. In other words, the forays into forbidden territory will not stop at marriage. How could it? The walls that should have been built up, that say, you shall not cross here, have been broken down. And marriage will not build them up. Only wisdom, empowered by God's Spirit, can do that. See, sexual scandals are now so commonplace that it's become expected. Pornography is now readily available. It's hard to imagine who is not affected. The idea of placing boundaries around a relationship seems like news from another planet. Many have concluded that the battle for sexual purity is unwinnable. I want during this address two things to happen. First, if you have become unclean, that you seek forgiveness and cleansing at the feet of Jesus. And secondly, that you begin with a new assumption. You can decide to win the war in advance. See, when I say that, please don't think me to be naive. I am aware of the interplay of several powerful that seem like unstoppable passions at work in every fallen son and daughter of Adam. First, Jesus reminded us that out of the heart comes sexual immorality. Surprised you, didn't I? You thought it came out of your hormones, but it doesn't. Yes, every human being has a biological sex drive, but that drive does not make you engage in sexual misdeeds. That drive can just as easily lead you to marriage and to a lifelong love and fidelity with one other person. It can be the impetus to purity. Now, it is the heart that is at issue, for sin resides in the heart, and it is there that the battle must be fought. Think of sin as a terrorist sleeper cell. You say, I will not sin, and you offer a frontal, full-scale attack on sin. Sin then retreats deep into the recesses of your own heart where you can't find it. And you think, I've won the battle. And then when we're convinced that we've won the war not to sin sexually, suddenly sin makes a comeback. And we're shocked to find it overpowering our will and making us act against our better judgment. So is it hopeless? No. You have to decide to win the war in advance. Well, how do you do that? Five ways. First, welcome God's authority. Let's read Proverbs 7, 1-3. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. See, the first thing that you must do is treasure God's commands regarding sexual purity. Make them the apple of your eye. That is, tell yourself that you love these commands and rehearse them to yourself constantly. That's your first step. Welcome God's authority. Second, declare an unending warfare of perpetual hostility and hatred against all sexual sin by desiring wisdom over sexual fascination. Let's read Proverbs 7, 4-5. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Now, calling wisdom your sister is a term of endearment. I'm reminded here of 1 Timothy 5, verse 2, where Paul encourages young men to think of young women, especially the pretty ones, as sisters. And so a battle is ensued in the mind. It is the battle of how to name things. That woman is my sister in Christ. That woman is married and made a covenant to another man. That woman is forbidden. Job said in Job 1, verse 31, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Now, that's good counsel, for it tells us what's right. But as with all things we seek to abandon, those things leave a hole and an emptiness and a lack, a longing that needs to be filled. Proverbs teaches us that the void must be filled with Lady Wisdom. Your mind now becomes a new thing, and all your passions become engaged in a restless search for ever-increasing wisdom, both in the knowledge of God and in the restless search for an ever-increasing skill in all the decisions of life. See, many people have told me how scripture memory began to occupy their hearts, as it required all their concentration and required full attention and little time for a wandering mind. So we've learned two principles. First, welcome God's authority, and second, declare warfare by replacing thoughts of adultery with wisdom. Now the third principle. Never allow yourself to stray into enemy territory, for if you are on the enemy's ground, you're going to lose. Let's read verses 6 to 9. For at the window of my house I have looked out through the lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near the corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening at the time of darkness. I find these verses fascinating. What was this young man doing on the street by the house of a woman who was known to be adulterous? Why was he hanging out there? He should have been nowhere near that location. Notice several things. First, the young man is simple, which means he has no commitment to wisdom. He has not made a resolute decision to win the war. He's not engaged in a lifelong passion to learn the commands of God. Second, although he won't admit it, he's opening himself up to the possibility of a tryst. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee from sexual immorality." Let's say you and your girlfriend are prone to lust, and you've told each other no more sex, and then you have it again. I have a word for you. Stop straying into enemy territory. Look at verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night or of darkness. It was William Shakespeare who said that lust and light are mortal enemies.
John, a great study. It's upfront, real truth of God. But you know, sometimes we are very quick to judge those outside of the church for their sexual exploits, their sinfulness. Not as quick to look inside. A powerful and convicting message today, and how every believer can win the war against sexual sin. There has been some great reminders here of the seriousness of the issue and within the church. Single, married, in a relationship, no one is immune from this struggle. And there is no ultimate hope for the battle without godly wisdom to help us to defeat it. Wherever you are in your walk with God, I hope this message has spoken to you in a profound way. For God can redeem us from all of our sins, past, present, and future. Be sure to listen as Dr. Neufeld wraps up this series, Skillful Living, in the book of Proverbs. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God.